This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God of grace, do not let us become bogged down with trivialities and lose sight of your vision of unity. Do not let us be sidetracked with dissension, but instead help us to foster unity among your people. Help us not to focus on past pains which embitter us, but help us to move forward in establishing love as the law of our life. Free us from that which binds us. Enable us to be a people renewed in faith and love. In your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Be seated. Good morning. There is a classic story told of four college students who were preparing for a final exam, and it was on a Monday that the exam was to take place, but they chose to go out and party the weekend before, such that they were so inebriated that they were able not only not to study for the test, but to show up for the exam on Monday morning. And so they wrote to the professor, having concocted this story, that as they were driving back to college, they had a flat tire which prevented them from getting back, and could we please take the exam later in the week? To which the professor relented and said yes. And so they came in for the exam later that week and sat down, and he put the exam before them. And the first page said, this question is worth 5% of your grade, and it was a giveaway question. It was really easy, and they thought, oh, this is going to be a breeze. They answered the question, they turned the page, and on the second page it says, this question is worth 95% of your grade. Which tire was flat? Needless to say, there were four F's that were given that day because they had not thought enough to figure out the details of this story they had created. We all have to be on the same page. We all have to be unified. And as I mentioned last week, we are now in the midst of this octave of prayer for Christian unity. And I cannot think of a more appropriate time in our life as a parish and in our life as a country for us to concentrate on being unified, to let go of trivialities and be the people that God is calling us to be, to model the behavior we would like to see. And these issues are no news to the Christian journey. I had us leave in that reading from Corinthians today, even though it's fourth Sunday, because it makes such a point about unity. This is the community at Corinth, one of the first Christian communities that ever existed, and even they didn't get along. And this is the whole reason why Paul writes that letter to the Corinthians. You know that beautiful love reading that we hear every time we go to a wedding, love is patient, love is kind? He writes those words because they weren't doing it. They weren't loving each other. And as he says today, look, some of you are proclaiming you belong to Apollos. Some of you are claiming I belong to Cephas. Some of you are claiming you were baptized by me. And none of that matters. You all belong to Christ. And start there and be his disciples and be unified. Now, this week in St. Joseph's Life Together, this Friday we celebrate our annual meeting, and it's my job to present sort of the state of the church. And you know, we are blessed at this place, our spiritual home, to have four very distinct services, four expressions of worship that we offer intentionally. But unfortunately, what has started to happen, I think, in our midst is that we almost, like Paul talks about the Corinthians, saying, well, some of you say you belong to 9:30, and some of you say I belong to 5 o'clock, and some of you say I belong to Unplugged. No, we all belong to St. Joseph's. We all belong to Christ. And so I think the time has come for us to start creating ways that we can bring each other back together. There isn't a week that goes by now where somebody will say, who was that newcomer that was at the 9:30 this week? And I say, I'm going to make up a name. That's Mrs. Smith, and she's been coming to the 7:45 for 25 years. We need to bring each other together. This Friday, I will have to share news that I've never had to share before. This is my 16th annual meeting. It will be the first annual meeting where I will have to say, our Easter attendance was down 16%. Our Christmas attendance was down. All four of these distinct services that we offer for 2016, every single one of them, the attendance was down. That's never happened before in my time here. Now, it's not like we've gone from this to this, but we have gone from this to this. So perhaps it is God's wake-up call to us that maybe we have to get back to doing what we are called to do as disciples, and that is to make more disciples. And personally, I thank these four families whose children will be baptized today, who literally have made more disciples. And we celebrate that. And we encourage that. But of all the ways in which we know people come to church and find a church home, every single study you will ever do, the overwhelming way in which people find a church home is because they received a personal invitation from somebody from that church. So the job is ours to invite. We offer so many opportunities to invite people to come and party with us. You know, we have this big Italian dinner for the mission trip to the Dominican Republic. What a great cause. But what a great opportunity to invite people who don't have a church home to come have a good time with us. And who knows? They will come and maybe they'll see, hey, these people are all right. I might want to be on a Christian journey with them. Look at the gospel today. Look at what's going on. Matthew's words are very important. What does Matthew say? Matthew starts this reading with, after John was arrested. Now, I think we all from Advent remember the words that John would use when he was preaching. But just shout out some of the John the Baptist words. That's it. Repent. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Now, that's important that he says that. That John was arrested, then Jesus withdraws? We don't know the details here, but I would think John and Jesus, they grew up together. 2 weeks ago, Jesus baptized by John in the River Jordan. Their messages were very similar. John sang last week, there goes the Lamb of God and all that good stuff. And now John is thrown in prison. Jesus has to think about this. And he withdraws, as Matthew tells us. He goes back, probably rethinks, what am I getting myself into? Certainly prays about it. But he comes out of that. Now, what brought him out of that? We don't know. Perhaps he heard, and probably heard, the voice of his father telling him, this is what you are called to do and to be. Maybe it was Mary, his mother, as mothers can do. Put your big boy pants on, Jesus, and get out there and do what you're supposed to do. But there was some nudge that he got. And maybe we need to nudge each other a little bit. But he comes out, and what's the first thing that Matthew tells us? Jesus starts preaching. Repent. intentional words, the same words, the same message that were being used by John the Baptist. It's almost as if Matthew and Jesus are saying, this is hard, I know this is what happened to him, but this is what I'm called to do and to be, and so therefore I'm going to be it. And so, as disciples, we are called to do the difficult thing. Now we move on in the story, and there's Peter and Andrew. Peter and Andrew, fishermen by trade, doesn't it strike you? They've been doing this all their lives, and Jesus comes along, says, come follow me, and they just leave all of that. Either they were really bad fishermen, or they were tired of it, or there was something so compelling about this invitation that they couldn't resist. Chances are they had a relationship already with Jesus. They had seen him. They had noticed his demeanor and how at peace he was with life. And as a result of that, they probably said, I'd like to have that in my life too. It's the same call we have as disciples. James and John, the same thing. Not only do they leave their profession behind, but he makes it very clear they leave their father standing in the boat. They leave their families. They give it all up because of the compelling nature of this incredible message that Jesus gives them. So what are we finding compelling in our lives here? That's the message to share. There is so much incredible ministry that goes on here at St. Joseph's. We've got 24 people giving up their spring break in March to go on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic. We have more outreach going on than we have ever had before. We're making a difference in people's lives. We need to share that message. And especially if it's my own life that's being transformed, that's a message somehow I need to share so that others can share with us in this journey. Let us become the people that we are invited to be by the one who says, come and follow me. Amen.